It's Helping Hand, weekly feature on HPR1 stations statewide and online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Each Friday afternoon, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on organizations, events, and topics that offer assistance to people with disabilities and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. Thanks for joining us. This week, we are dialing in on some of the most vulnerable Hawaii Island residents affected by the recent volcanic eruption. The animals on the front lines of trying to help is the Hawaii Island Humane Society, and they're really there year-round for the many animals on the island that are in need of help. As their website notes, mission of Hawaii Island Humane Society is to prevent cruelty to animals, eliminate pet overpopulation, and enhance the bond between humans and animals through three shelters that are island-wide. Services like shelter for homeless, stray, injured, lost, or abandoned animals. Animal adoptions, they've got humane education programs for kids and administration and promotion of the spay-neuter community assistance program. They are the only open admittance shelter on the Big Island with no time limits. Their website says nearly 13,000 individual creatures come through their doors every year. That's a pretty humbling number right there. Many are infirm, ill-treated, injured, too young, or elderly. Some have never known the security of a home, their website notes. Others have lost the only home they ever knew. They accept any animal regardless of age, species, condition, circumstance, behavioral issues at all three shelters, and right now obviously dealing with an extraordinary situation that's affected a lot of creatures over there. And we're joined today on Helping Hand by Patrick Thompson. He's the Hawaii Island Humane Society Purchasing Officer and Executive Assistant. Welcome, Patrick. Thank you so much for taking time for us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, it's a big, you're welcome. And paint a picture. You got three locations, Kea'au, Waimea, Kona, and how many animals would you normally be caring for there prior to the latest volcanic eruption?
Well, our Kea'au and our Kona locations are our largest locations, and we, it's quite a an ebb and flow depending on the season. Like right now, we're kind of in the middle of kitten season, so we've had a large influx of kittens and cats that we've been that have been surrendered or found out and about. As far as numbers go, our shelters take in probably the Kea'au shelter has the capacity for a couple hundred animals. The Kona shelter has slightly less capacity, and then we have another shelter in Waimea, and it is our smallest shelter and probably has the least capacity of the three shelters on island.
So most of the animals that have been affected are ending up still on the east side of the island or in foster care situations already?
Yeah, so the animals that have been rescued via with relation to the lava eruption have all been housed at the Kea'au shelter. And then as we have been gathering more fosters and people who are willing to take care of these animals on their own, they've been sent out to them to make more room for additional animals at the shelter.
How many staff do you guys have in all?
We are staffed, currently have a staff of 40, including two veterinarians.
And where do you guys get the funding to operate?
So we have a County of Hawaii contract that covers approximately two-thirds of our budget, and then we rely on community donations for the remainder of our funding.
And it's a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we are a 501c3 corporation.
Yep.
We're formed over 50 years ago. We're governed by an all-volunteer board of directors.
And you guys, what is the relationship? I'm always curious, because we talk a lot on the show about animal crises all over the world, and sometimes you'll hear about the International Humane Society or other humane societies. Or is there a connection between you and them, or are these independent things?
So these are independent organizations, but we do partner occasionally with other humane societies within the islands and abroad when we have extraordinary issues come up like this eruption.
Sure. And so dialing in on ways that people, as we look at kind of there's a lot of ways people can help who are listening, and people are hearing it all over the state. So there's just so many folks who love animals. No doubt there are different ways they could plug in. So before we think about the crisis itself, prior to the volcanic eruption this time around, what are the biggest challenges in caring for the animals when you look around and think, because as the purchasing officer, obviously you're on the front lines of getting the things that you need to care for the creatures. So before you had this issue, what were some of the biggest things that when you think about people listening, maybe they could take a bite out of those?
Some of the biggest things that we are always looking for is like food and litter, kind of the consumable supplies that we go through every day. When we have large influxes of animals, we can go through that really quickly, and so any sort of donations of those types of material are always welcome. Some of the best ways people can help, honestly, is with monetary donations online. That really helps us be able to
buy the right
adjust
stuff
and just get the right stuff that we need whenever we have that need. And so it allows for the most flexibility.
Sure. No, it totally makes sense. And I would preface it by saying anyone wanting to help would be obviously it would be best for them to donate cash, and then you can buy the stuff that you know that you need. But so basically and maybe that'll inspire people to maybe make a donation that was earmarked towards food or towards these other things that you say you go through so quickly. So those would be the most important things that you need prior to the eruption. So explain how you were impacted by the eruption in terms of perhaps when the first calls started to come in for help and what some of your memories were of the first emergencies maybe.
Well, first of all, with talking about the eruption, I feel like I need to say that Mayor Harry Kim and Civil Defense and the County of Hawaii really done a wonderful job during the last 8 weeks keeping everybody safe and communicating with everybody. There's been really good coordination among all the government agencies, including Hawaii County Civil Defense, National Guard, Police and Fire, and the nonprofit agencies, including the Humane Society, on plans and initiatives moving forward. But some of the first things were people had been kind of given that real short notice that they needed to evacuate their homes, and maybe only having a couple of minutes to gather things. And if individuals weren't ready or weren't expecting to be evacuated, they maybe didn't have the place or moment to think of their pets at the time. And so a lot of animals were left behind in that initial evacuation. And so some of our first responses were going in and finding animals that had been left behind, and doing our best to rescue them before homes were taken, and then also placing traps, because many animals, especially like cats, they get really freaked out, and then they bolted from their homes, and then they didn't know exactly where they were anymore, and so they didn't know where home was. And so now we've been doing a lot of trapping, trying to get as many animals out of there as possible.
Wow, that's something you don't even think about, having to trap creatures that have run. And obviously people left with very little time in some cases to leave, and a real existential threat with something like that coming. And like you said, it was also something where you really was unpredictable and remains to that degree, and has cost a lot in terms of its resources. And sometimes, like a lot of issues around the world, really when it comes to animals, there's so many other crises. Like when it comes to China, for example, now everybody's talking about the tariffs and the trade, and there's the South China Sea, but then you never really stop and think about they're also wiping out the elephants, the rhinos, the pangolins, the lions, the tigers. All of those animals are going because of that one country, so you can't really even deal with it because there's all this other stuff. And so similarly, that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you guys on, was because this crisis is so massive in Hawaii County, and there's so many people in need, and sometimes I think the animals get pushed to the next page because, understandably, there's so many other crises. So when it comes to housing the creatures that you've ended up with, you've indicated some of it's rescuing people, some of it's rescuing animals on site with traps. About how many additional animals are you guys now caring for due to the eruption?
Now, I'm not 100% sure how many animals we have right now due to the eruption. However, to date, we've rescued over 300 animals.
Okay.
With nearly all of them returned to their owners, and the remainder of them are in foster homes. And that includes cats, dogs, chickens, cattle, sheep, goats, all sorts of different kinds of animals that we've been housing on site at Kiao. And then we've had a couple of local ranchers that have also taken in some of the livestock and put it on their pastures.
So that's cool. So a lot of animals have been reunited with their owners.
Mm-hmm, yes, the vast majority of the animals that we have rescued and caught have been reunified with their owners.
Do you ever, curious question, just because I have them myself and I always wonder what would happen in an emergency. I have as much as I can prepared to help them, but it's limited. I have fish, so I just wonder, do you guys ever get, have you ever dealt with that, or does that not come up?
You know, I have not heard of fish being surrendered or being found or being dropped off at the Kiao shelter, but that is an excellent point. You know, that is something people need to then care for and be able to find a place to keep them. They do have those special requirements with temperature and.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I stress about it myself. Luckily, I'm down to a much smaller group of folks because I've kind of rehomed people, but I'm very aware of. It's always a frightening thing. And when we had a big big building fire, a high rise that burned here that killed people and was really, really upsetting, burned a number of units, and a lot of water was pumped into that building. And I felt for all the people who had that kind of situation there.
Oh, absolutely.
Which must have been very, very frightening. I'm going to post the Amazon wish list of supplies, which is a great way to help you guys to kind of defray some of the expenses of what you're doing. But thinking about the large drive time audience that are tuned into this segment, many of whom either care for pets themselves or love animals in general, what are some tangible things in terms of that you would, and obviously making a cash donation to allow you to buy those things is the way to do it, but to inspire people, some of the larger scale items that could assist you guys right now, that if someone was thinking, maybe I could reach out to them and give them money in your market for that thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So some of the bigger items that we're looking for is we're trying to expand our capacity for sheltering animals that are displaced, because, you know, as we've talked about, the lava eruption is very unpredictable. So if we had an expansion in volcanic activity and had a need to house more animals, that's kind of what we're trying to do. So on that wish list on Amazon, one of the items that's on there that we are always in need of more of are their black wire animal kennels, mostly for dogs, but we can keep cats in them as well. And those are some of the items that we're really looking at getting more of, because we just want to be prepared for anything that might come up. We're also looking for leashes, collars, animal harnesses, anything to kind of help the people who are at the emergency shelters and the animals at our regular shelters to be able to not have to sit in a kennel all day. You know, you can put them on a leash and get them out for a walk. And you know, the animals, they're safe at the shelters and at the emergency shelters, of course, but they also are spending a lot of their time inside of their cages. So being able to have items available for them to be able to go out on walks. And, you know, a lot of people, again, you know, they left their homes with whatever they could grab in their hands, but forgot their dog collar or leash or anything like that. So those are items that we're always looking for more of.
That sounds like great ways. Anyone who has a dog or a cat and wants to do it in honor of their animal and make a contribution to you to earmark it for getting those much needed supplies, that's good of you to put it out there in that way. And you were talking about the animals not getting out of their enclosures that much. Do you guys do something like, and forgive me if I misread it, like field trips with animals? People take them on?
We do at our shelters. So anybody can go to any of our three shelters, and we have special leashes and harnesses that say field trip all over them, and you can take an animal for a day. So you can go out and get them in a car ride, get them out of the shelter, go on a little mini vacation for the day, and the animals love it. And then we always end up getting photos from either residents or tourists who are taking advantage of this program, and it really helps kind of get that animal's face out on social media, so we can hopefully adopt it out to a loving family and also get them just some time out of the shelter away from all the other dogs and have some time to get some individualized attention from the caretakers.
It's enrichment, there's no question, for a captive creature. And so also on that note, volunteers, you have a need for volunteers. You want to put the word out for that?
Absolutely. We always need volunteers. We're always looking for volunteers at our shelters. We use our volunteers to help around the shelter, walk dogs. And we're especially looking for people that can help foster and house and, of course, adopt pets and animals. Again, with it being kitten season, we have a lot of kittens who need extended care, who've been separated from their mothers, so they need to be fed, and our fosters really help out with that. So that's what we're always looking for. We, of course, are always interested in volunteers coming down to the shelters and helping out.
That's fantastic. Well, you paint a picture of a lot of different ways people can, whether it's foster care for animals, adopting animals, coming down there and helping in a variety of ways, or all these different ways people could earmark funds to buy much-needed supplies. And when people shop on Amazon, I should point out, according to your website, people can use Amazon Smile, which is another way to channel additional support to the Hawaii Island Humane Society. And thinking of that broader way, other things that you need, whether it's sharing your plight on social media, being board members, writing to legislators to thank them for supporting you or urging different kinds of support, people conducting their own supply or fundraising drive for you after hearing some of the things you need. Are there any other things that you want to put out there for folks?
Well, in addition to the Lava Relief Amazon wish list, there is just our general wish list that actually also helps with just general items that we need. Some items are just kind of regular supply items that we normally get anyway, and others are nice to have that are that we really can't justify purchasing, but would enrich the lives of our animals in the shelters and also our staff.
And that would mean that when people buy those, they basically go up to the list. It shows the item for sale on Amazon. They make the purchase, and it gets shipped to you. Is that how it works?
That's absolutely how it works. So all of the lava relief items on that wish list will get shipped directly to the Kaiau shelter. And then everything else comes to us up here at administration, where we then kind of dole it out to the rest of the shelters on an as-needed basis.
Wow, the wish list then is a way for people literally anywhere in the state, they can dial that up, see the exact item listed that you need, purchase it, and that's basically making a contribution to your effort right there very easily from wherever they are.
Absolutely, absolutely. We really like that. It helps with donations abroad, but also within the state. You know, being that there are people on the other islands that want to help, but it's hard to get material goods that they may already have there. That's a way that they can not have to deal with the hassle of shipping or finding some way to get it over here and not have to run through that hassle.
Well, here's how to learn more about this remarkable organization on the front lines of helping some of the most vulnerable folks in the state, the animals. Hawaii Island Humane Society can be found at hihs.org online. You can make a donation there, learn about volunteering, see the wish list they got that they have at Amazon of needed supplies, which you can purchase and have sent to them, as we just discussed, all quickly online. You can reach them if you have a specific way that you want to help them or a question. Their email is info@hihs.org. Phone number is 808-329-8002 for a general number for their administration, and then we'll have the numbers for each of the shelters in their Helping Hand post, as well as the email addresses and after-hours phone numbers for the three Hawaii Island shelters in Kona, Waimea, and Kaiau. You can get all this contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests at hawaiipublicradio.org, where Helping Hand lives online. It's been a privilege today to have Hawaii Island Humane Society Purchasing Officer and Executive Assistant Patrick Thompson joining us on Helping Hand. And lots of creatures that you guys are helping out there. Is it really, did I have the number right, 13,000 through the doors there every year?
That's accurate.
Man, that's a stunning number. On behalf of what is obviously a pretty humbling mission, for a lot of creatures, I couldn't imagine being in their shoes and in their feet to deal with this. Thanks for doing what you're doing. It's a real inspiration, and thanks for letting us try to help.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your interest and having us on. We really appreciate it. I listen every day.
So you've heard Helping Hand. You know what that is.
Yeah. I've listened to a bunch of the segments on Helping Hand. I love the segment, and I really love HPR. Thank you so much, Dave.